So last night. I think it was about a month ago since we were doing those cameras. Let's, I think we just have one more share, some of the loose ends that we left off with in terms of Hilchos Gerus, but we move on, let's say, next week to the next topic. So last we were speaking about was the concept of Ger Kata, the Gemara Sechus Tzubis, Nafid Aleph tells us in Chiddush, that the Beis Din can take a child under the age of Bar Bas Mitzvah, non-Jewish child, and convert this child. How about they pull such a stunt? How about you convert somebody, and they're a lot of Bar Das, they don't know what's going on, they don't know what's going on? So the Gemara invokes the principle of Zoch and the other Mishlob Bafanav. We can do it based on the principle that it's beneficial for the child, and therefore we're permitted to do something which is beneficial for somebody, even though they're not aware of it. So Zachar and Shlomo Fadim is a din min haTorah. So we left off in the last year pointing out that a lot of Rishonim have great difficulty understanding this Gemara, because according to many, the principle of Zachar and Shlomo Fadim doesn't work for a child. It only works for someone who's over the age of Bar Bas Mitzvah. So we said that at least according to some Rishonim, this is Zachar and Shlomo Fadim. In other answers that I give him, but basically, according to a whole group of Rishonim, it is based on Zoch Lev Shel Tufanov. Even though there's a technical quirk with Zoch Lev Shel Tufanov, we got around the quirk last time, and the Gemara stands. But the Gemara said that it's a function of Zoch Lev Shel Tufanov, Zechia, of doing something which is beneficial for somebody. That's the Yisod, that's the background, that's the halachic guidelines for this principle of Ger Kotem. But in contrast to everything we spoke about in the past, there's another day in Rishonim, which is the Tosos in Masechet Sanhedrin, beginning of the 8th parakh of Sanhedrin, where Tosos takes an entirely different understanding of this sugya of Ger Katan, and we're going to see as we go on, some very, very real, serious halach l'maisa shailas are going to emanate from this Tosos. So Tosos in Sanhedrin is also bothered with this question, how can it be that Zoch Lev Shel Tufanov, normally Zechia doesn't work for Katanim in HaTorah? So Tosos reworked the entire Gemara, revamped the entire Gemara, and said, you want to know why Ger Katan works? There's really nothing to do with Zoch Lev Shel Tufanov. You know why it works? It works because the child is being put into the mikvah. He's the one who's receiving the milah. It means the maisa geirus is taking place to the child. When do we invoke a principle of zochin? Zochin means that I'm going to give a gift to Reuven. He should pick it up on behalf of Shimon. So Shimon's in China. Shimon's nowhere near here. So if the halacha permits me under certain circumstances to give a gift to Reuven, Reuven's going to do the kinyan. He's going to do the action on it. And it's going to become the property of Shimon. So that's the parish of Zoch Lev Shel Tufanov. And that may or may not work for Ketanim in HaTorah. Says Tosfos and then this is not Zoch Lev Shel Tufanov. This is Maisa Geirus Nasa Beguf HaKotan. The Kotan's getting the Mila. He's the one who's going into the water. So the whole thing, HaKotan, is being done for the Guf HaKotan. So says Tosfos, that works without Zoch. You don't need Zoch Lev Shel Tufanov for that. Of course that works. So why does the Gemara dress with Zoch Lev Shel Tufanov? Why does the Gemara use as the reason for the halacha Zoch Lev Shel Tufanov? So Tosfos said, we totally misunderstood the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't mean to say that the halachic mechanism for Ger Katan is Zoch Lev Shel Tufanov. What the Gemara means to say is, why should we do such a thing? What prompts Beis Din to get involved in such a crazy story? We should take a non-Jewish child, take him a bris milah, put him into the mikvah, enroll him in the yeshiva, and raise him as a Jew. Why? What do we have to gain from this? Why should we do such silly things? So the answer is, well, Zoch Lev Shel Tufanov shows us that it's okay to do things for people if it's for their benefit. That's a nice thing to do. They're very nice people today. So we're doing the guy a tova. So Zoch Lev Shel Tufanov. The Gemara never meant to say that Zoch Lev Shel Tufanov is the halachic mechanism of how the process works. You know the process works? Because Nasa Geirus Beguf HaKotan. So what does Zoch Lev Shel Tufanov mean? Zoch Lev Shel Tufanov is the social background for the story. Why are we bothered doing this? Don't we have anything better to do? Beis Din has nothing to do. We have so many things we could do in our time. Beis Din, we could have Otsa Beis Din there in Israel. We could write principles. We could do Otsa Shadars. We have so many things to do. What are we raising these little non-Jewish children for? So the answer is because it's a nice thing to do. Because we're very nice people. It's beneficial for people. Zoch Lev Shel Tufanov. This is quite a different reading of the Gemara. According to most of the Rishonim, the way tells the Ksubas presents, the Rashba, the Ritzvah, the regular standard Rishonim Ksubas understood that the Gemara says Zoch Lev Shel Tufanov, the Gemara means that's how it works. That was the mechanics. That's the formula of how Ger Katan works. According to Tosfos Sanhedrin, that's not the formula of how Ger Katan works. That's the background, the social reasons why we get involved. The formula, how does it work halachically? It works because Nasa Geirus Kugufa Shel Katan. Mind if Kabin Ladin, at the end of the day, Ger Katan works. The Gemara says it works. Who cares whether we formulate it like Tosfos and Ksubis, like the Rashba, the Ritzvah and Ksubis, or whether we formulate it like Tosfos, Razzle, Dazzle, Numahalach, and Sanhedrin. So we have to understand the end of the Gemara about Ger Katan. Bein Lefi, the conventional wisdom, Bailus Vitais the Masechet Sanhedrin. The Gemara has a tremendous chiddush. The end of the sugya of Gekot, and the Gemara says that we convert this child, and again, we said the model of the application of this is all adoptions, all non-Jewish adoptions work on this principle. So we adopt a little child, the non-Jewish child, we give him a bris, we give him a mikvah, we enroll him in school, everything's wonderful. Comes the Gemara and says, Higdili Chalom Mimchos. The child turns the age of bar, bas mitzvah, they can opt out. They can say, wait a second, this is not for me, I don't like this, it's easier to be a non-Jew. So the Gemara says they can be moicha, they can revoke their Jewishness, revoking it retroactively. Once that is Kaddish B'Kdushas Yisrael, you can't revoke it Mikad L'Hava, you can't revoke it from here on in. So it has to be that we're revoking it retroactively. The person becomes not Jewish, and turns out that he was never Jewish. Higdili Chalom Mimchos. Achid Yisrael, the Gemara says. Some Sefer writes in the Tshuva, how can we ever risk the halachas of Gerkot? How can we ever raise a non-Jewish child who could be Makayahim? He's touching our wine, he's cooking our food, he's doing so many things for us, and then he comes to David's Bar Mitzvah, he says, nah, he's not just this, so turns out all our wine was straight, and all our food was straight, everything was straight. So Chassam Sefer says, yeah, that's all right, but we can assume it's probably not going to happen. You give him a good education, you hope and pray that it won't happen, but look at two, that it happens, that's Chassam Sefer. You got a big problem, you got to start recashing your entire kitchen, because the kid was really not Jewish all along. A little damper on the sugya of Gekotan. So how do we understand this halacha? How can this be that Higdili Chalom Mimchos? What's the lumbus behind this halacha? So here the Rishonim seem to have a major machlokas, how to understand Pshat and this halacha of Higdili Chalom Mimchos, based on their understanding of how Gekotan works in the first place. If you go with conventional wisdom, like the Ksubis, and the Rashba, and the Ritzba, and all the standard Rishonim and Ksubis, that it's based on Zachar Yadam Shal Gafana, that the principle of doing something beneficial to somebody is the halachic formula, that is a mechanism for Ger Katan, so that Higdili Chal Mimchos makes a lot of sense. In the Dirim of Zechiyah, what would that halacha be as follows? What if I go ahead and I want to give Reuven a gift? So Reuven's out of town, he's in China, so I go to Shimon, I say, Shimon, do me a favor, pick this up on behalf of Reuven. So Shimon picks it up. Now when Reuven comes back and he says, what? I don't want your gift, son. I don't want to have anything to do with you. I don't want any gift to yours. So the Gemara says, so the Matan is not chal. And it turns out retroactively that wasn't a zchus. We thought it was a zchus. We thought it was beneficial for you. But if Lamaisa, you come and you tell us that it's not beneficial, so be it. So you have the final word. You have veto power on Zachar Yadam Shal Bafanav. So if that's true by regular Zachar Yadam Shal Bafanav, and if Ger Katan is a function of Zachar Yadam Shal Bafanav, and it makes a lot of sense that the Ger Kotler, when he reaches Bar Bas Mitzvah, has the right to veto. He has the right to declare, it's not a tzchus to me, I'd rather be not Jewish. Don't do many tovahs, I don't need to wake up and daven shachos every morning. Do me a favor, I'd rather remain not Jewish. So if that's true, if the person really vetoes it, he declares that him, it's not a tzchus. So we gloy mils, it turns out retroactively it never really was a tzchus. If it never really was a tzchus, then we had no right to do it in the first place. And we had no right to do it in the first place. Then it's going to be null and void in halacha. So according to the standard we've shown him, the halacha of Higdili Chalom Mimchos makes a lot of sense, makes perfect sense. It's just the corollary of the regular rule, it's just an application of the regular rule. You can always uproot a zechiyah. You can always declare that a zechiyah is going to be batel or mevutel. That's a mashal about the Vedomeh. The Mishnah says in the second Erevim that when we make an Erev, so we always rely on Zachar Yadam Shal Bafanav, because the halacha is that every Shomer Shabbos person in the community has to participate in the Erev Chaseiros, in the Baksa Matzos, in the challah rolls, that are unified, that unite the entire community. So each person has to give a little bit of a share. So really what you should do, as the Mishnah says, you should go to every person and go collect a matzah. So the Mishnah says we can make life easier for you. Rather than having each person physically give his own matzah, his own challah roll to the Erev Chaseiros, so one person will go to the store, they'll buy a box of matzahs, and they'll give it to somebody else on behalf of the entire community, that he should be zoicha, every Shabbos person in the community should have a share in the box of matzahs. That's what we do. That's the Mishnah. That's Erevin. We apply the principle of Zachar Yadam Shal Bafanav. Most people don't even realize that they have a share in the Erevin. It doesn't matter. Zachar Yadam Shal Bafanav declares that it's beneficial to own a little bit of the matzah. So therefore, everybody has a share in the Erevin, and therefore the Erevin is valid. Right. So that's the halacha is that let's say a person would hear about this. He hears that he has a share in the Erevin, and he says, wait a second. I don't like this. I don't want to have a share in the Erev. I think the Erev is puzzled. I don't want to be part of this act of Chol Shabbos. So I hereby revoke my ownership of the Bat Sinasis. So the Pasha says that he can do that. The Pasha says, and that will disqualify the entire Erev for the entire community. Because the halacha is that every Shomer Shabbos person has to have a share of the Erev. If one person is out of the Erev, then that defeated the whole purpose of the Erev. The Erev means that after all the wires and strings and poles are up, then everyone has to become one big happy family, or unhappy family, depending on whether you hold the Erev or not. So if one person decides to stay out of the picture, he can theoretically disqualify the entire Erev. So the post committee discussed that. What do we do for that one Kanoi who decides that he's going to apostle the Erev? They figure out eight is happening. So don't worry about it. Nothing happened so fast. But... Oh, we're going to get there. We'll get there in a second. How that plays out in terms of this. That's why if a person wants to be a real knocker and really knock down an Erev, he doesn't have to be such a kanoi and go up and clip down the wires and knock down the poles. He should just have in mind, he didn't even look not to be zech in the box of Asas. Now I'll do the same trick. So, okay, so we have to figure out an eight time, but that shouldn't be a problem. Don't tell anybody this. Anyone who doesn't know this, so we don't want to give them a fuel to the fire to possible Erev. So according to the regular Rishonim, the standard Rishonim, Maseches Ksubis, we understand the Gemara perfectly. Kiyar Kotzim is based on Zechiyah, and Zechiyah is subject to Machoi, Gilichal, Mimchos, and the male of the child reaches Bar Bas Mitzvah, they declare they don't want to be Jewish, so be it. They have to declare it right away, immediately when they turn Bar Mitzvah. Let's say when they turn Bar Mitzvah, everything's good, they like it, Torah Mitzvah is a nice thing to do. Then when they give you 17, 18, they have a little less of rebellion, and they decide, now this is not for me anymore. So that's really too late, the Gemara says. That's like, if I give a present to Reuven on behalf of Shimon, and Shimon comes back and he says, thank you for the present, and then 20 minutes later he says, I don't want it anymore, so it's tough. He can give it away, he can be masquerade, but he can't declare that the present is retroactively invalid, because it has to be your initial reaction. Whatever your first reaction is, if you immediately react and say you want the present, so be it, then it belongs to you, and then you have to, if you want to remove it from your property, you have to do that accordingly. So to over here, that once the person is happy, once they observe Torah Mitzvahs when they turn 13, and then they want to change their mind at the age of 20, so that's already too late, then they're considered to be Jewish.
That raises an interesting possibility. You just present as if he accepts or he doesn't accept.
Somebody doesn't know.
What if he says, I want to think about this for a couple of hours?
Yeah, Pasha says he could do that, as long as he doesn't start to act to do mitzvahs. The Gemara says that, let's say, while he's thinking about it, he says, you know, while I'm thinking about it, I'm going to put spilled on, go down chakras, and I'll think about it. The Gemara says, once he's Noah B'Yisrael, once he starts to do mitzvahs, that's indicative of the fact that he really does want. But look at that, if he says, you know, this is a lifestyle decision, give me, I can't make the moment, I'm just part of the moment. So Pasha says he would have the time, a little bit to think about it. But what about a question? That's a further question. How much do you have to actively give him these options? How much do you have to tell him about in the first place? That's a big machlekes pesukim. How much does he really have to understand that he has the option to back out? That's a big point, Shiloh. But according to Tosfos and Sanhedrin, how do we understand this whole story? According to Tosfos and Sanhedrin, the din of Ger Katan has nothing to do with Zach Lerem Shlom Bafanov. It's Nase Ageirus Begufa Shel Katan. So why can he back out? Once the Geirus is Chal, the Geirus is Chal. So Tosfos says, no, the reason why he can back out is for a totally different reason. Because every geirus requires kabbalas hamitzvahs, like we spoke about in the past. So the milah we can do on his behalf, the tefillah we can do on his behalf, the kabbalas hamitzvahs he can't do on his behalf. Either he is metabal, not makabal. The Tosfos says when he grows up and he turns by mitzvah and he says he doesn't want it, that's an indication, that's a declaration in the fact that he's not makabal mitzvahs. If he says that he does want to be Jewish, he puts on tefillah and he comes to shul and he keeps shabbos and kashrus all the mitzvahs, so that's a declaration that he is makabel mitzvahs. And if he does fakir, if he's mocheh, that's a declaration that he's not makabel mitzvahs. So according to Tosfos, the gdilichol nimchos is a totally different story according to Tosfos and Sanhedrin. It's not a revocation of the zechiyah. There never was a zechiyah. It never worked based on zechiyah. It's the antithesis of kabbalas mitzvahs. So when all the dust settles, the halacha is the same. Everybody agrees that a gerkotan works, and everybody agrees in gdilichol nimchos. So why are we spending 20 minutes? It's a nice moment of Shashayla. It's like Tosfos and it's nice to understand the background. The two different approaches in the Rishonim, but do we really kill the Maisa? Does it make any difference how we understand the late nature of Ger Katan? So the Chayyur, there is a very, very serious Nefkimin of Ladina. There are some Rishonim, there's a Rashba, there's a Kedusha, and there are others who have such an idea also, that this notion that if I do zechiyah to somebody, I give you a gift, and then you can back out. You can declare, no, it's not a zechus for me. If I gave a gift to somebody else to be zechiyah for you. So comes the Rashba and says, it would appear to him that that's only true, something which is not 100% objectively a zechus. You know, receiving a gift from somebody is good, it's a nice thing, but there are strings attached. It's not for nothing that some people don't want to receive gifts. I don't want to be sure, but I don't want to owe you a favor in return. So getting a gift is something which is not 100% chus, it's 90% chus. That has a little bit of a detrimental side to it. But sometimes you have what's called an halacha chus gomor, something which is absolutely 100% perfect. It's gavaldi. Can't get better than this. So comes the Rashba and suggests that maybe the only time that a person can revoke his chus, a person could say, I don't want that gift, don't do me any favors, why'd you give Reuben the gift of IBF, I don't want it, that's by a gift, that's by something which can be looked at as advantageous, can be looked at as not so advantageous, but something which is absolutely 1,000% beneficial to somebody. So both the daikulates of Das Kalab, how can you say it's not a chus to you? What do you mean it's not a chus? It's objectively a chus. The Torah says society claims that it's a chus. So the whole world views that this is a very, very good thing. So then what do you mean you have a right to say that it's not a good thing? Who are you? So that's what the Rashba suggests in the Sefer Chiddushin. Other posts can go along with that. The Machlokes of Rishonim, is that really true or not? But there is an idea in some Rishonim that the idea of being mochan is chus only makes sense when it's a quasi-chus, but a real absolute chus gomor, one cannot be mochan. So the Chasam Sofer raises the Shaila already based on Rishonim about the following question. The Gemara tells us that the case of the Gemara of Ger Kotta means that the Beis Din found this little kid on the street, and they go ahead and they convert him. They try to find a home for him. They're being nice, they're having fun of it, trying to help people out. And we raise him as Jewish. Is that an absolute 1,000% schus for him? Not really, because on the one hand, you know, he's... On one hand, he's being raised Jewish. That's a nice thing. That's a wonderful thing. On the other hand, you know, it's not so great for him. Maybe he could have been raised as a non-Jew also. Maybe he could have found a nice home in a non-Jewish adoption agency. But, you know, back and forth. It could be a schus. Could that be a schus? So we go ahead and we do it because it looks to us like it's a schus. But he has the veto power. He do the chol and chos. What would that look like if you have a situation where it's an absolute schus? Felishum Suffolk, it is 100% beneficial for this child to become Jewish. What would that case be, says Chasam Sofer? What's called this Gairu Bon of Imo. What if you have, rather than bathing, just finding a little child laying around the middle of the street, what if you have a situation where an entire non-Jewish family comes to us to convert, and they say, listen, the father wants to convert, the mother wants to convert, we have these little children under the age of Bar Mitzvah, but we want to convert them also. The whole family converts, Hakol Mikol Kol. So wait a second, would we say Bilichol Mimchos under such circumstances? Would such a child have a veto power 5 years from now to negate the conversion? So this comes up, and that's so simple. This is already a Zechus Gomor. He wants to convert with his family. How can anybody say this is not a Zechus Gomor? The whole family is converting. Or you have sometimes more modern day applications of such a scenario. You have the father who's Jewish from day one, and he married somebody who wasn't Jewish, and then down the line, the woman really wants to convert. They really become Shema Torah Mitzvahs, so they want to convert the mother and the babies and the children also. So could anybody say, this is not a Chos Gomer? Would anyone say that, no, the child has another good option, let him just leave his family and go to a non-Jewish adoption agency? That's ridiculous. That's clearly a Chos Gomer. If he's converting in the context of his entire family, he wants to remain together with his biological family, so of course that's a Chos Gomer. Would this child have the way out now? In such a scenario, Kam and Shad, Kam Shmaisi Bechol Yon, when it's this Gairu Bon of Imo, or Kwaza and this Gairu Bon of Imo, would we say, Higduli Chol Mim Chosinah? So it could be that this child that Chasam Sofer is raising depends on this Machlekes HaRishonim. If you hold like Tosin Subis, like the Rashi and the Ritva, the conventional standard Pshat and the Rishonim, that Higduli Chol Mim Chos is a function of revoking the Schus, so the Medvan Amurim, that it's called revoking the schus, that's only when it was something which was not 100% schus, when it was a 90% schus, but something which was 100% belishim suffix is schus, you can't revoke that, you can't negate that. So in a situation where the mother converts, the father converts, the whole family converts, and you're going to leave this child out in the cold, how can you say that that's anything but a schus gomor? One could argue such a child would not have the ability to be moich at a later point. If you take the other approach, those in Sanhedrin, it says, no. Higdili Chol Mim Chos has nothing to do with revoking the schus, because the whole parasha of Ger Kotten has nothing to do with Zachal Amshal Vadim in the first place. But rather, the reason why the Kotten can revoke the Geirus is because he's declaring that it's not a Kabbalah's mitzvah, that David had no right to become a mitzvah on his behalf. So then, in Ochinami, this child, when he turns 13, says, listen, I don't want Kabbalah's mitzvah, I'm not interested. So the Geirus was never complete for him. So if you hold like Telson Sanhedrin, that the statement of Higdili Chol Mim Chos, the Machos, HaKotten, Machos, when he reaches the age of Bar Mitzvah, it has nothing to do with the schus. Schus wasn't a pivotal factor in this sugya, but rather the macha is the antithesis of a kavos mitzvah. So this child also can decline kavos mitzvah. If he declines kavos mitzvah, then he goes also the freya that he's not Jewish. So his parents are Jewish, his rest of his siblings are Jewish, and he's not Jewish. So doing something. So where's he going to live? What's he going to do? So they'll figure out an eighth of him. But in terms of is he Jewish? So he's not that not considered to be Jewish. That would be a very, very important shaila. Lemaisa, does the Gdilucha Olimchos work under these types of circumstances? Chassam Sofer is nervous about this. It's like you have a Sofek Yisrael here. You could have a kid who converted with his family, reaches Bar Mitzvah, he says he's not interested. And normally the kid says about Mitzvah, okay, good, he's not interested, so go. Here we go, you're not Jewish, b'chlal. Here, we can't make that statement with certainty. We're not too convinced that he's not Jewish. Probably the worst situation to be in is a Sufik Yisrael, Sufik Akum. That's a very bad situation. I mean, from his point of view, he probably couldn't care less about it. But from our vantage point, that's pretty bad, because we don't know Mishnah and Mishnah Her. So that will probably depend on these 2 days in Mishnah. There's another very, very important shiloh that comes up. It's a heart-wrenching type of a shiloh. It probably also depends on the 2 different approaches to the sugya, at least partially. And that's as follows. A couple comes to us, they want to adopt a child, they want to adopt a non-Jewish child. One small technical problem, the couple themselves are not Shomer Torah mitzvahs. But they want to do it right, they want the child should be converted by an Orthodox, and they don't come to us, they want an Orthodox Beit Din, they're smarter, they don't want the kid to have trouble in Eretz Yisrael 25 years from now, they want it should be done, Kedasa Chodin by a Beit Din, to convert the child. So the mice, the parents are not Shomer Shabbos, the parents are not Shomer Kashrus, they don't keep Tazim Shabbos, they don't keep any of the mitzvahs. So how could we go ahead and convert this child? So there are a lot of problems with that statement. How can we go ahead and convert this child? One of the biggest problems is, even if we go through the motions, we give the child the milah, tefillah, and everything, does the geirus really work? Is that really considered to be a valid geirus? So the poskim discuss this, when Rav Moshe was presented with the shaila. If you go with conventional wisdom, the ger katan is based on zachar yadam shlo b'fanav, can you really honestly say that this is a zchus for the child? So this becomes already a meta-halachic question. Is it a zchus to be Jewish, even though the person is not going to keep any mitzvahs? Is it intrinsically good, is it intrinsically positive to be part of the Am Hashem, even though you can call Shabbos, you can eat treif, you're not going to go to yeshiva, you're not going to daven, you're not going to put up tefillin, you're not going to get any of the mitzvahs, nothing. But you're Jewish, you're part of the Am Skula. Is that good for a person? Or should we say, what kind of Torah did we just do to the person? If he remains a non-Jew, who keeps the Shabbos, we're going to make him Jewish. Okay, he's going to be a Tinuch Shanishpi, he's not going to know anything. We're going to make him into a Shoigeg, we're going to make him into a Mechal Shabbos, we're going to turn him into a Eichel Treifus, we're going to turn him into a Bali Aveir his entire life, he can do Aveirus. That's a Schluss. That's already, what can already begin to imagine, that already touches on a very Hashkafic type of a question. Is it positive independently to be a Jewish, or is it positive to be Jewish if you keep the mitzvahs of being Jewish? So Rav Moshe raises that question to Truman, and he says that's going to have a very, very serious Nafkamina Ladina. Can we go ahead and convert the child, whether we should or should not, whether it's a good idea or a bad idea, is a different story, but will it work? Lemaisa, the d'eved, will such a geirus be effective if the parents are not from, and there's no indication that the child is going to be from? So if you hold that it's considered to be objectively a zchus, so then maybe it'll work. So then maybe you can argue that that would still be an acceptable geirus. If you hold that it's not objectively a zchus, it's only a zchus because you're going to keep Torah mitzvahs, so that would throw into serious question the validity, even with the d'eved, of such a geirus. But this whole discussion that Rav Moshe has, this is assuming that it's based on Zachar Yom Shlo B'Fanav, then you can begin to kvetch. You can begin to say, maybe it works, maybe it's still considered to be a zchus. But what if you go the other route? What if you go the route of Tyson Sanhedrin, that the child has to be Mekabel Mitzvahs, not at the age of 5, at the age of 13, at the age of 12, they have to have a formal Kabbalah Mitzvahs, and the observance of Mitzvahs is the formal observance of the formal Kabbalah Mitzvahs. So can we envision a Kabbalah Mitzvah under these circumstances? So this gets us back to the old problem, the old shiloh of Kabbalah Mitzvah that we spoke about a month ago. You have a person who's Kabbalah Mitzvah. He's driving to his own Bar Bas Mitzvah on Shabbos. The affair is not kosher. The kid doesn't go to yeshiva. That's Kabbalah Mitzvah. So that was a serious problem. Yeah, how could you call it Kabbalah Mitzvah? So Rav Moshe had a possible svara. Maybe Lefishit also, that's called Kabbalah Mitzvah. He doesn't know any better. So he thinks Kabbalah Mitzvah means that you have a Bar Mitzvah, you drive to the Bar Mitzvah Shabbos. So he thinks that's Kabbalah Mitzvah. That was a big question. Rav Moshe threw that out as a possible limud chos and some of the geirus that are being done this man hazeh. So this would be a very, very serious question. Can we really honest to goodness say this child who's being raised by not from family, is it really called the Kabbalah Mitzvah? So this has 2 serious problems with such garrison. When you convert a child into a non-from family, adopt the child into a non-from family, number one, can we really say it's a zchus according to the convention of Rishonim? Is it really a zchus? Rav Moshe's back and forth. He's noted a little bit of Rav Moshe. Others disagreed. Others weren't so convinced. And forgetting about the issue of a zchus, can we really declare it as a Kabbalah mitzvah? So these are 2 serious impediments to such a situation, to convert such a child into a family when the parents are not from. So yeah, there are different practices that are being done b'zman hazeh. There are some rabbanim who try to at least set some kind of a basic standard. That means that they'll convert the child So even though the family is not 100% up to par, at least if there's an absolute commitment by the family that they'll send the kid to yeshiva day school, that's already something. So then already you can begin to argue. Then it becomes much better chance. I mean, not everyone, as you know, not everyone who goes to yeshiva day school ends up from. Not everyone who goes to yeshiva day school ends up not from. But at least I would hope that the statistics are still in our favor. I hope that there's a better chance of becoming from if at least the parents commit themselves to send the kid to yeshiva. Again, this is
the same question we had when the parents themselves came.
Right. This is a yes, it's a very, here it's even worse, because here you have to really, the whole game is hinging on Zuchus. Is it really beneficial for the child?
They're showing why they're coming from
Orthodox. Yeah, love Daska that they're showing that. Very often the reason why they're coming to Orthodox Beijing is because they already read all the horror stories about people who converted and they come to Israel 20 years later and the chief rabbi won't accept them, so they don't want that Mali Blatar Hazal. For the same reason that you have people who couldn't care less about any Shemitah and Mitzvahs, but the comfort Orthodox get. Because they don't want to have any problems for the kid 20 years from now. So it's not often it's an indication of commitment. So this is a very, very shaky thing. You know, first of all, the parents, the bechlal not from, they come in to tell you, yeah, we're going to enroll the kids in Shiva Day School. Meanwhile, the kid is 1 week old, and the Mia Dema Yelah Jom, you know, many people will make that commitment until they get the first bill for tuition, and then all of a sudden everything changes. So not so simple, and that's really a statement or anything. And number two, can we really label even that as chutz? Yeah, the parents of bechlal not shomer Shabbos. They're not shomer any mitzvahs. They're gonna sign the kids up in some in a religious preschool. Can you say that there's really a real chance this kid's gonna come out as a shomer Torah mitzvahs? I don't know. It's a very, very tough call. So this is a very, very serious issue in Geirus today. This issue of Ger Katan. Can we really go ahead and perform a Ger Katan? The reason why it's a wrenching issue is because who's coming to us with the shailas? Nebuch, the people who are coming to the shailas, the people who have trouble loving children. A couple has Nebuch, they have infertility issues. The doctors have basically given up. So their only choice is to adopt. So now they're coming to us. So if the couple is from, okay, so then we can begin to discuss. Ger Katan, a good idea, a bad idea. You know, how do you go about doing it properly? If the couple's not from and they're coming to us, so then they have a very, very serious issue. There are different practices, different rabbanim today. It's a very, very thorny issue in halacha. Well, if one of the parents is Jewish, you know, it just makes it less of a zchus. You know, how can we really honestly say this is a zchus for the child? The child may end up, practicing another religion. So it's very hard to declare that to be a zchus. There is one last sugya relates to Ger Katan, and that's a very unique type of Ger Katan. That's a sugya that appears in Maseches Yevamos. Spoke about the sugya in other places and in different contexts. But the Gemara discusses the sugya of Maseches Yevamos called Muveresh and Hezgaira. You have a woman who is pregnant, and she comes to convert, and a non-Jewish woman comes to convert. So the halacha is Muveresh and Hezgaira works. So when she converts, so the child doesn't have to be converted either. The Gemara says that the child is yotzei, so to speak, with the tefillah of the mother, Muveresh and Hezgaira, b'nai and tzarech tefillah. So the Gemara itself raises the question how that works. So the Gemara says that it's a machlekes amaroyim, what the mechanics of the halacha is. Everybody agrees that it works, the shaila is how it works. So one day it says, it's based on the principle of uber yerech imo, that a fetus is considered to be part of the mother's body. So when she's pregnant, she converts. So the same way that she converts, her legs convert, her arms convert, her head converts, so her baby inside converts also. So the baby is basically converting the Torah, so the mother's body. That's the man yom uber yerech imo. The other opinion says uber lav yerech imo, that a fetus is considered to be a separate entity. It's not considered to be part of the mother's body. It's its own being, so to speak. And therefore, it's not covered by the mother's conversion. So it's not covered by the mother's conversion. So how did the gerus work? So the Gemara says, well, it's no worse than if the baby converted himself. Because bottom line, the baby's under the water in the mikvah, so the baby also went under. He didn't go on as under the water as part of the mother's body. He went in by himself as a separate entity. So the Gemara says, what happened to chatzitza? Ain't no chatzitza. You know what we do? We go crazy about a little bit of nail polish, so this is not a chatzitza. The mother's body is a tremendous chatzitza. So the Gemara says, no, that's not called the chatzitza hana revisayu. That's considered to be the normal way that the baby grows. Chatzitza means when something which is artificial. A woman has nail polish on, so she wasn't born with nail polish on. Nail polish is something which is external to her body. Woman's wearing, has a band-aid on, so a band-aid is a potential chatzitza, because that's something that's external. Whereas over here, this is the way the baby grows. That's not called a chatzitza. That's what the Mishnah Berurah Hilchos Tefillin quotes this Gemara. Poskim say, how can you put tefillin on your hair? Isn't your hair a chatzitza to your head? So the Mishnah Berurah says, no, that's not a chatzitza. That's the way it normally grows. So some of us those who had hair still have hair. So that's a normal way of growing. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Let's say a person's hair is growing in a very, very unnatural way. The guy's got hair from all ends. He's pulling all over the place. He's pulling hair from here, from here, from here. He's got this tremendous brand new hairstyle. So the Mishnah Berurah says, maybe that's not called Rebbe Sayo. Maybe that's not called natural anymore. If that's not called natural, maybe the hair is considered to be chazitza. So a lot of mashtichim in yeshivas like to quote this Mishnah Berurah. They quote this, and they want to knock the kids down, make sure they get haircuts, so they quote this Mishnah Berurah. So you have to be careful whether that's really, maybe a good idea to get a haircut anyway for the kid, but to say that's a chayashal chazitza, so you have to know where you draw the line or not. But there is such a concept in Hilchas Chazitza, when it's natural, it's not considered to be chazitza. So the Gemara says, at the end of the day, the tefillah works, whether it works b'torah, it's part of the mother's body, whether it works b'torah, as it enters the end of itself, the tefillah works. It's interesting, that shayla, that with the ubi yachima, whether the fetus is considered to be part of the mother's entity, or it's a separate entity in and of itself. So somebody told me that this was a big machlokes in Fort Lee traffic court, and apparently there was somebody went, him and his wife went on the bridge, and they were in the carpool lane, and she was pregnant, and they got pulled over, and she said that she's pregnant, so that's the third one. The cop didn't buy it, so he gave her a ticket, so they went to the judge, and they were fighting it out. And this was Mamashit. I don't think they quoted this Gemara Yevamos, but the other Ubal Avi Achilo, so the baby is a separate entity. The mice they lost. But the judge held her benatam, though we don't pass it anyway. So at the end of the day, the gerus works. Whether it works with Torah's Uber Yerachima, whether it works with Torah's Tefillah B'Seyat, Malamaisa, the gerus works. I tell a story of once also that several years ago I used to teach in Stern, so I was teaching something about gerus. I was relating over this Gemara about Uber Yerachima, B'Lav Yerachima. So I said over how the gerus works because the child is considered to be tumbling in the water himself. So one of the girls asked me a question. I realized from her question that she didn't understand exactly what I meant. She thought what I meant was, she had a very lumdish perception of what I said. It's not what I meant. That there's a loch enuchas mikvos, that if you have a kosher mikvah, and then you have a posel mikvah, but they happen to be connected with water, so they're connected with a certain amount, so then the posel mikvah becomes transformed to be a kosher mikvah. That's like basically all of mikvos are like that. When we're tovel in a mikvah, so the mikvah, the water that you actually tovel in, is mamash city water, right out of the tap, but it was connected up the halacha through a whole series of different ways with the kosher rainwater. The rainwater is the stuff which is underground. You don't see the rainwater, hopefully. You should never see the rainwater. If an Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev Yom Kippur, if you go the express lane and the easy pass lane and the easy pass, you know, the other. If you go to the easy pass, to the mikvah, you're already showered at home, so they let you change in the filter room, the mechanical room. So you're standing on this piece of wood. Remember the Tinek mikvah. So underneath that wood, if you would fall through, you would fall into the real mikvah. That's where the real rain, the real megishavim is. But you're seeing, what you're toddling in is the meha'ir, which has just been mixed up the halacha with the megishavim. So there is a complicated din in Hilchos Mikvahs, that you could be machshir, apostle mikvah, kosher mikvah, the two are touching. So this girl thought that what I was saying was as follows, that the mikvah is a kosher mikvah, and the baby is inside amniotic fluid, which is basically water also. So the baby is being toddled inside the apostle mikvah, too small for the mikvah, the apostle mikvah, and it's connected up the halacha to the water of the mikvah. That's what she thought. So when I realized after about 5 minutes of her formulation of the question, that's what her misunderstanding was, that's what she thought I was saying. So then I just commented to her that, again, I don't profess to be an OBGYN, but the last that I read is that if that plug is open in the woman's body, which would connect, like the mikvah plug, which would connect the amniotic fluid and the water of the mikvah, she doesn't belong in the mikvah, she belongs in the hospital, she's having the baby already. So that's not what the Gemara was talking about. The Gemara meant was that the baby is not doing the amniotic fluid. It could be dry in there, it doesn't matter. The baby is under the water level, and that's considered to be a kosher or a tefillah. So my nafkamino, whether the tefillah works b'taras ubi yarchim or not b'taras ubi yarchim, at the end of the day it works. The Ma'aseh Gemara says it works. So who cares how it works? So the Chara, there's a tremendous nafkamino how it works. Are we invoking the din of get katan to understand this halacha? If you hold that ubi yarchimo, that this tefillah is part of the mother's tefillah, so this has nothing to do with get katan. This is get katan. This is the mother. The same way the mother's kidneys convert, her liver converts, and her stomach converts, so her baby inside is ubi yarchim, it's part of her body. It also converts. This has nothing to do with Ksubasaf Yidal. This has nothing to do with Tereshia. This is a regular gerus of a person over the age of Bas Mitzvah. But if you hold it, Uba Lav Yerachimo, that the fetus is not part of the mother's body, but rather the fetus is a separate entity, an independent entity, and it's really a gerus in and of itself. How could you pull off such a gerus? This Uber, Emuch HaKotah and Golem, is that? No pun intended. This child's under the age of Bas Mitzvah. He's not even born yet. He's under the age of zero. So how could you be Megayer, this child, of Kotah, is Lav Ardaz? So the answer is, it must be that we're falling back on the Sugya of Yerachotah. And it must be the Gemara Yevamos is assuming that you're Eilim Ksubas. Yevamos comes before Ksubas, but we're assuming that everybody realizes that it's based on the din of Ger Katan. So is the din of Mubereshit this Gaira dependent upon Get Katan or not? So that depends, and there are two reasons. In the Gemara, if it's an independent Gairus, then yes. If it's part of the mother's Gairus, then the answer would be no. So my Nafkamina, at the end of the day, the kid's Jewish. Tremendous Nafkamina. Can he be Maicha or not? This child who was converted in utero, when he or she turns Bar Bas Mitzvah 13 or 12 years later, can they say, I don't want to be Jewish or not? Do they have that right of Igdilichah and Limchos? So if you hold that it was an independent Gairus, it was based on Get Katan, they also have such a right. Whereas if you hold that's not based on your Katan, it's based on the mother's Gairus. So that would be like, imagine, 13 years later, the mother's kidney walks into the basin and says, I don't want to be Jewish anymore. You don't want to be Jewish. Who are you? It means the mother decided on behalf of her entire body, so that's it. So you were part of the mother's body at the time. So finish, the Gairus is chal on you. The same way the mother's Jewish, you are Jewish. End of discussion. So that would be an interesting estimate of Dina. So the Avim Melun has such a child. The Avim Melun wrote on Kedushim Sugis. So now this got stuck in the middle of Sefer Avim Melun. He throws out the Shiloh. What would it then be? Aloch Lamaisa. You have a Muberish in his Gaira, and then the fetus decides to be Moicha 20 years later. Would that be acceptable or not be acceptable? So the answer to that suffering, the Avim Melun, it depends. If it's 2 days in the Gemara, if it's based on Ger Kotlin, the answer is Tachi Gili Chomim Kotlin. Unless you argue that it's Chosgomer, because it's part of the mother, okay, that's what we spoke about before. But if it's based on, as the Gairus is part of the mother's body, then it's absurd to speak about Higdili Chosgomer. So I hope on the basic structure of Ger Katan we have, the two basic issues in the Rishonim, how Ger Katan works, is it based on Zechus, or is it based on Nasa Maisa, the Gufashon Katan? The Nafkamina between the two is how to read the end of the Gemara about Higdili Chosgomer close. Nafkamina is Ladina, about when Higdili Chosgomer may apply, may not apply. Nafkamina is possible Ladina adopting children to non-from families. And then you have this last Gemara, Masechus Yevamos, about Mubereshit and Gairus. Is this really part of Ger Katan, or is this part of regular Gairus and Afkamin? If you have the Mulim Shaila, who do you deal with Chalim and Chosapla? Okay, so we can make a Siyam on the Hilchos Gairus. Mi'etz Hashem, due to popular demand. So Mi'etz Hashem, next week we're going to start sugyas of Shemitah. So particularly Shemitah for the consumer, issues that come up, those who go to Eretz Yisrael, even those in America, already have the peppers have already made their way to Costco. So what's the status of Peru Shemitah, particularly as it relates to us in America? Hopefully, that's for the next couple of weeks. We'll try to discuss a little.